Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 24 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we have a special guest. A listener of the show, Sean from California, wanted to come on and talk all about his pin trading. We agreed, and we have a really good interview with Sean that we're going to play in a couple minutes. After the interview, we're going to have Sam and Jimmy on, then we're going to talk about our pin trading at Walt Disney World. So, as I mentioned, tonight's show we have Sam. Sam, how's it going?
Going great. Thank you so much, Ed.
And Jimmy?
Awesome. Happy to be here.
Great. So, as I mentioned in the beginning, we talked Sean Cloth from Southern California. He goes to Disneyland pretty much exclusively and has a really cool Disney pin trading site and a Facebook page. And we talked to him this week all about pin trading. So listen on to the interview, and then we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yellow, green, red, blue, 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 red, purple, green, yellow, orange, red, 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 yellow, green, red, blue, 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 red, purple, green, yellow, orange, red, red.
Hello and good evening. And tonight we have a special guest on the Disney Nerds Podcast. On the line I have Sean Cloth from Southern California, who wants to come on and talk about pin trading tonight. Now Sean's got a website already up and running, DisneyPinCollecting.com. And he's part of the Disney Pinholics Traders Group. So, welcome, Sean. How you doing?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. Trying to survive out here in the snow. I guess you don't have that problem out there.
Oh, no, no. We had a lot of nasty rain, though. But today's between 70 to 73 degrees, so it wasn't too bad.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. I wish. We've only got a couple months before we hit that. I'm glad that you're on the show tonight. And let's talk some pin trading. Now, sure. I checked out your website, and it's a really great site, and you had some really good information on it. And I guess to get a feel of where we're going, let's start out with something really basic as far as what got you into pin trading.
Well, I have to say my loving fiance actually got me involved. She was pin trading for a little bit, on again, off again, not really regularly trading. She got a few pins here and there, and she had a few pins, and we just decided to go to Disneyland one night, and I saw everybody kind of pin trading, and I kind of felt left out. It happened to be one of those times where, you know, we were a little short on cash that evening, and she said, oh, what the hell, you know, let's just go ahead, and I'll give you a few pins. So she gave me four pins, and I started noticing all these really cool pins, and it kind of brought me back to my childhood when I used to trade baseball cards, and I stopped doing baseball cards long, long ago, and that kind of got involved with that again, you know, and I had my favorite characters, which was Chip and Dale at the time, and I started collecting all these different Chip and Dale pins, and I started seeing Stitch and Maleficent and a bunch of others, and it just became, you know, very, very, very addicting kind of hobby, kind of like baseball cards, where, you know, you had those, you know, certain players that were worth a little more than others. And but yeah, it was my loving bride that actually got me started. Well, a little over a year ago, I would say, a year and a couple months, I've been kind of at it.
Okay, great. And you're right about how addictive things can get with Disney collecting. That's very, very true. Okay, well, I tell you what, tell us about what the pins are. I mean, there's some of us out there who really aren't sure what the pins are. I know they have them in the parks and such like that, but how has it become such a big thing, or why is it such a big thing?
Well, I mean, you know, with Disney, you know, originating it back in 1999 as part of the Millennium Celebration, it started in your neck of the woods, if I'm not mistaken, down in Walt Disney World. I know you talk a lot about Walt Disney World, and then it started blossoming into, you know, my side of the U.S. at Disneyland Resort, and then it spread to Paris and Tokyo and Hong Kong, and the Disney Cruise Lines have their own pins, and a little bit of pins here and there in Tokyo, but you know, it started becoming where people would be able to trade with cast members. And it's really cool because, you know, sometimes you'll see the cast members with their lanyards or their little hip pouches. And, you know, they have pins on them, or what they call hidden Mickey pins. And these are really cool. They're real cool sets that they come out periodically. And, you know, it's the fun of chasing them down. Kind of like, again, back to the baseball cards, you know, it's the same aspect. You know, you got to get all those different characters and all those different sets. So that's kind of what you're tracking down. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, with me, I was doing the Chippendale characters. So I was looking for Chippendale. And my wife was chasing down all the hidden Mickey sets. So we started with that. But that's kind of how it is, you know, and they have all different kinds of pins at the parks too, which is really, really fun. And again, very expensive at times.
Oh, I'm sure. A Disney collectible item is fun, addictive, and unfortunately expensive. Well, I tell you what, before you get too much further past that, you mentioned the hidden Mickey pins. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what hidden Mickeys are. We look for them in the parks all the time. And I'm assuming that's the same case with the pins. But can you confirm that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hidden Mickeys are ones where if you look very close at the pin, you'll see a Mickey head on the pin. It'll be a really, really small Mickey head, you know, with the bottom of Mickey's face with his ears. And it'll be hidden either on an ear or somewhere on a piece of clothing on the pin or somewhere on the pin. And usually there are sets of approximately 5 to 6. The 6-pin sets are usually ones where they have what's called a chaser, which the chasers majority of the time are the silver pins. And it's a replica of what on one of the other pins in that set. So you'll have the 5 regular hidden Mickey pins plus the chaser, which will be the entire set. And you mentioned my website a little bit ago, and on my website I did actually do an educational video about how to learn about, you know, telling if a pin is fake or not. And unfortunately, with hidden Mickeys, those are very, very, very often faked, and you got to be really on the lookout for that. So, yeah, when you're trading with hidden Mickey, and anybody listening to this show, please, you know, take a look at those pins and make sure that you're getting an authentic pin there.
Right, right. And that's what's so good about trading, I think, with cast members to start out with, is because you're always guaranteed you're going to be getting yourself an honest-to-goodness Disney pin, hopefully. And a lot of times dealing with a cast member makes the trade that much easier. Now, I think there's some rules that are set up for pin trading in the parks. Do you know about those?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, when you're trading with cast members and when you're trading with like people like myself, it's a little bit different. Now, with cast members, the rules are you can trade up to 2 pins with that one individual cast member per day. And it doesn't matter what they have on their lanyard. You can select any one of their pins for whatever's on your lanyard, and they have to tell you yes. So remember that. Anybody that wants a pin trade at, you know, at any one of the Disney parks, and you see a cast member with that lanyard on with the pins, they do have to trade with you. So you can just give one of your pins off of one of their pins, and then you can trade that way. One of the unwritten rules in pin trading is never touch their pins without them pulling it off their lanyard. You know, it's just kind of the respect thing. You know, you don't want to touch someone's items without asking first, so to speak.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes they're okay with you doing it. Sometimes they would rather take them off themselves. So, and that's what I do, just to kind of, you know, make sure that I'm getting an authentic pin. I want to actually look at it, feel it, making sure it's not rough anywhere on the pin, flip it over on the back, making sure if it has that waffle design, make sure it runs off of the border, off the sides of the pin, and making sure that border isn't around there. You know, that was part of my video, is I made sure that I showed you the waffle print on the back of a pin so you can understand how to tell a fake from a real pin.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely saw the video. It was very, very helpful and informative. Now, one of the things you mentioned in the video was you described some of the types of pins that you can get. I believe you have limited edition, and then you also mentioned, I guess, the lower version of that, which the cast members probably carry more of. What was right. that, standard, or you had another name for it?
They call it rack pins, which mm-hmm. is ones that you can go into a pin store up on the side of the wall. On their cards, on the Disney cards, they have what's called rack, and it's basically on a rack on the wall. There's also limited edition, which limited edition pins, they have a certain number of that individual pin that has been released. So when you have a limited edition pin on the back, you'll see the words literally limited edition with a number. So that symbolizes how much of that one individual pin there is. Now, I've seen pins that are in a couple thousands, you know, limited edition 2,000. And I've seen, even at the soda fountain out here in California, you got some that are the 300 and the 400 range. So it's much more rare of a pin. And it's, if you get the right pin with the right character, and, you know, depending on what's happening at the time, like, for example, Frozen's the hot thing right now. They're, you know, if you get the Frozen set, I mean, we've seen on now on eBay, I want to say it's still for the entire set going on the upwards of $800 I've seen in some cases.
Wow. Wow. That's a big investment.
Yeah.
But so, but if you really want it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, out here again in California, and that's what's really cool about us is, you know, we have the soda fountain out in Hollywood where they have periodic monthly releases where they'll have a release of a certain group of pins ranging from 4 to 5 pins. Sometimes they'll also have a surprise release where it's unannounced and they just automatically post it and they get bombarded with customers. And they have what's really, really popular right now in the pin trading world is called the Pin Trader Delight. Now, if you can imagine this, you know, heat of the summer, you know, it's 90 degrees at night and you want to get yourself an ice cream. Well, what's better than going down to Hollywood? You get all the limelight of Hollywood. You know, it's literally right on the Walk of Fame. You got the stars literally right there on the sidewalk. And lo and behold, here's an ice cream shop that you can, you know, go in there and it's Disney themed. Not only that, they give you a limited edition pin. Recently, they had one that was a Blue Pascal pin, and it literally lasted, I kid you not, 3 hours.
Wow, that was
now,
fast.
Keep in mind, there was only 400 of that pin, so they literally sold 400 ice creams in a matter of 3 hours. So you can imagine how busy that they were.
Sure.
For that pin, and that makes it, again, it depends on the character and as far as rarity, how much pins would be valued.
Okay, well, you bring up a good point now, too. As far as pins being rare, if you're new to pin collecting, how do you find out about how rare your pin might be or how much it might be worth?
Well, earlier I mentioned, you know, turning it on the back, looking at the back, seeing if you see the words limited edition. Now, again, limited editions are more rare than, say, the Hidden Mickeys or the rack pins. The rack pins, there's a never-ending cycle of how many pins they release. They basically are keep going and keep going and keep going until Disney decides to stop making that pin. I've seen pins literally in the store now that I've seen 3 to 4 years ago. So they're still making the same continuous pins. The limited edition ones, like I mentioned, from Soda Fountain and the monthly ones that they do at Disney now. The cool one out here in California is the Piece of History pins, where they're 2,000 per pin, and they release one new one each month. So you got a series of 12 for the entire year. So you got to buy one at least every month to get that entire series. And this year, it's, I believe there are attractions, too. So first one was Briar Fox from Splash Mountain. And this month, it was a character from It's a Small World. So it had a piece of part of their clothing or things like that. Now, to know how rare a pin is, a good resource would be Pin Picks. Very, very good place to go. It's very educational. It tells you when it was released, how rare the pin is, and if you look a little further down on the page, you'll even know if the pin has have known fake pins or what they call in the pin world is scrappers. You can talk about that, and it tells you certain things that are noticed on a scrapper pin. So just in case you're at a park and you see that, happen to have one of that iPhone or an Android product and you're on Pin Picks kind of looking, then you'll know if that pin's a real one or not.
I didn't even think of that aspect of it. I have used the website before to check out some pins that I've had and was able to go on there. And I just wanted to remind everybody, if you do go to the Pin Picks website, they have a really good search engine that'll let you search on either keywords or characters or things like that, because a lot of times it was always hard for me to actually find the pin on the site unless I did a good search. the thing I wanted to say was it's a really cool idea as far as having now our smartphones. I haven't even thought about using it for that in the park. That's a great idea.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's got their cell phone. Everybody's, you know, whether you're on Facebook, you know, with your message, your update that you're on this ride or whatever, you know, you have that phone literally right there, and majority of them now have internet access where you can be on the internet right away. Like what I've done is I have an Apple phone, and I went on the PinPix website, and I actually created a shortcut on my desktop on my phone. So literally, I hit that icon, here's PinPix, immediately right up on my screen, type in the keywords, and immediately all the options for that pin come up, including the one I have in my hand. So right then and there, I know how many people want it, if it's very desirable, if a lot of people want it, again, how rare they are, and a lot of really good information. So yeah, PinPix is an amazing place to go, to, especially if you're learning pin trading.
Gotcha. Okay, well, you keep on bringing up some great points and moving us along. And what I wanted to ask you now is, as far as pin trading goes, from your website, I see that you refer to online pin trading along with in-the-park pin trading. In the park, that's obvious, but online pin trading, how's that been going and how much have you done of that?
I've done quite a bit of online pin trading. With being in Southern California and, you know, being blessed with a no blackout pass, I'm able to go to Disney anytime I want to go, which is really cool. But sometimes it does get expensive. Of course, when you're at Disneyland, you got to buy all that wonderful food and things like that. But sometimes, you know, you kind of just want to sit at home and you just want a little taste of Disney, but not quite the whole big, huge hoopla of Disney. So what I've done is I've created Disney Pin Traders on Facebook, which is a really cool way for you to be able to meet not only people in your local area, but people literally all across the world. And you can pin trade with them. And what they do is they create an online album within their Facebook and they post a link to that. They post what kind of pins they're after. When earlier we mentioned PinPix, they sometimes will post their PinPix account name, where you can literally pull up their account. You can see what they have, what they're after, what they want, stuff like that. So it's a really cool way to do it. The only downfall with online pin trading is you're not actually looking at the pin. So after a while, what ends up happening is you really want to watch. You really want to watch who you pin trade with. Make sure that they're a respectable pin trader in the pin trading world, making sure that, you know, they have a good following. Now with my website, and we're also going to be adding this too, and this is going to be exclusive, is we're also going to add testimonials on the website, where if you've had a really good pin trade with somebody, or you bought some pins from somebody and you want to give them a really good mention, then you'll go have an opportunity to do that. And that will be available on the Disney Pin Collecting website as well, so people can go ahead and do that. But, you know, be careful when you're online pin trading. Do your homework, you know, check pin picks and eBay what the going rates are and things like that. And but yeah, it's going to be a really cool website, and I'm not done by any stretch of the imagination, that's for sure.
Oh, no, but what you have out there is really cool looking. Now,
appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Now, as far as the pin trading in the parks, we've, again, done that in Walt Disney World, and we usually trade with cast members. The only mm-hmm. time we actually go to try to trade with other guests is when we're looking for a specific pin. This is really my son more than myself, where he has a series of pins. He knows exactly the one he needs, and he can't find it. At Disney World, there's two main areas. There's one at Downtown Disney, and there's an area at Epcot where it looks like there's professional pin traders there all the time with either suitcases or big binders that have pins in them. Is it similar to that in Disneyland?
It is. There is a Mexican food restaurant that's down in Frontierland of Disneyland, and I believe the name is Rancho del Zacardo or something along those lines, I believe the name is. But the manager there has been kind enough to allow us to use his tables that are outside of the restaurant for all of us to be able to pin trade, which lately the really, really, really busy nights are Thursday nights and Sunday nights. at Disney. There's very busy times at Disneyland to pin trade. It's a really nice spot as well because just literally about 20 feet away is a pin store that is right there. So maybe you may not have a whole lot of pins, but you see that one pin you really, really, really got to have. Then you can immediately go into that pin store, buy a few pins, and come back, and hopefully that trader might be able to work out a deal with you.
We've done that, like I said, a couple times, but not often enough to be really confident in trading. But it sounds really good. Now, as far as your trading group or the Disney Pinholics Traders,
yes.
You mentioned you have an event coming up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, on March 22nd, 23rd, we have a weekend-long pin trading event, which this month we're calling it Frozen in March. So we actually have some Frozen-themed prizes that we're giving away, one being a custom pin board that was donated to our group, and we're going to be donating it to our people that come. There's going to be numerous other prizes ranging from custom pin lanyards to pins to stuffed animals with pins and a whole bunch of really, really cool things that we're going to be raffling off. And that's going to be located at the Cervello's Bar and Grill, going to be at 4115 Viking Way in the city of Long Beach, California. The event will be from 11 to 5, both Saturday, March 22nd, and Sunday, the 23rd, again from 11 to 5. So you literally got 6 hours pin trade, have fun. The food is fantastic. And as an extra bonus, and we just recently were told we can now even sell at these events. So if you're somebody that's got the creative juices flowing and you got those custom Mickey ears maybe or custom pin lanyards, you can actually come down and be part of the fun and enjoy the wonderful world of pin trading and being at pin events.
Oh, that sounds like a great time. Sounds like a true Disney meetup.
Absolutely.
Oh, very cool. Now, I forgot to ask, how do you carry your pins in the park?
I actually do have some help. I do have some help. My loving, loving bride, she brings some books with her on her shoulder. I bring some books on my shoulder, and I do that. Unfortunately, I do have a lot of lower back pain, so sometimes I do have to have a push wheelchair that I will slowly walk into the park, and I'll have a couple books on there as well to kind of help myself out. But yeah, that's usually what ends up happening. It's just a group effort. You know, my stepson will do it. My wife will do it. I'll bring some in, and you know, we'll all bring our stuff in there and just have a great time with everybody at Disney.
Gotcha. Do you ever walk around the park just with a lanyard enjoying the parks anymore?
Funny you mentioned that, because I do know from your show you do a lot with Walt Disney World, and my main collection is from the Reflections of Evil event from this past year at Walt Disney World. I do have all the 13 pins, which are the villains in the background of each one of the pin, and I have the super jumbo pin at the bottom to kind of weigh it down so it stays nice and flat. So on my lanyard, I have all the 13 main villains with the super jumbo, which I got really, really lucky in the trade with the super jumbo. And on the back of it, it was actually signed by the artist as well. So I got a really, really cool pin, and I've been chasing that thing ever since I've seen it. But
oh, very cool.
It was really cool. And my wife, you know, she has Jessica. She collects Jessica from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So mm-hmm. She's got a bunch of Jessicas on hers and her custom lanyard. And yeah, I mean, we still do wear the pins on our lanyard, and those are a little harder to trade. You know, they're the more higher desirable ones and harder to find kind of pins because they're the low number limited edition pins. But everything we have is always for trade. It's just got to be the right trade.
Sure. That's the name of the game. So two quick questions I have to finish up, and it's about basically kids trading or beginners trading. The first one is, as far as the cast members go, I knew they have two different colored lanyards or two different color belt pouches. I think green and blue. Do you know about those?
They do. However, we've been now seeing at Disneyland, that's no longer the case.
Oh, okay.
They now have all the black lanyards, and even if it is a colored lanyard, and I do know what you were mentioning with that, where it was going to be kid exclusive. Everybody is now able to pick off these lanyards, so it's going to be open to everybody now.
It probably got too tiresome for them to explain that whole rule, I bet.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But, you know, at the same time, that could make it even better for the kids if you think about it, because you got more pins kind of going on and off that lanyard. And who knows, it might be just that one real special pin that that little girl or that little boy really likes and, you know, they want. And again, you know, with the kids, what Jade and myself do when we go to the park is we also bring a pin board with us. It's literally like a 13 by 13 board, a cork board, and we'll put a bunch of authentic pins on there, and we actually do a pin for pin trade with the little ones, even with the little ones, you know, because, you know, sometimes they come up to us and they get a little intimidating because we literally have a 6-foot table loaded with jumbos and things like that. But right. I personally make sure I bring the fun to the traders, and I want to make sure even the littlest girl that's got that one or two little pins on her lanyard, even she has a chance to get a pin too. So we make it fun for the kids, and they can literally, you know, pick off the lanyard just as long as their pins are authentic, and I make sure before they put it on there they are. And sometimes, you know, if I notice it's their birthday or they're celebrating a big achievement or something like that, then I'll hook them up, and I'll even just give them some pins just to kind of make their day extra special.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, Mia. And the one other question I have is, which when we started pin trading, I didn't realize that we'd have to become an expert on the black clasp on the back of the pin. Mm-hmm. Is there any hints or tips you can give us as far as how to keep those secure or anything like that?
Now, when you mention the black clasps, are you talking about the pin backs itself?
Correct.
Okay, well, there's a few different ones that are out there. Of course, you got the regular rubber ones that comes with the pins itself. Those are okay if you're just putting them in a book or if you're starting off pin trading. There are some that Disney will sell you, which is the ones that literally take an Allen wrench and you can tighten them down a little bit. Those, to be totally honest, and I hope Disney's not listening to this podcast, I do not think they're good for pins, because what happens is when you tighten them just a little too much, what ends up happening is it literally cuts a groove in the post itself.
Gotcha.
Then when you take it off and you might accidentally bump into something, like when you're enjoying your lunch or something like that, you might accidentally bump it and then the post snaps. So then you've got a ruined pin that you really like. So what I do, and a few of my friends out here in California, they have what is called a metal pullback style, where it's literally a round little piece of metal on the back of it. You literally pull it up, and you can put your pin on it, just like with the regular rubber Mickey heads. You put it on there, and then you let go of that round object, and it literally closes around the post rather than cutting a groove into the post. So you could take them on and off real easy. You could pull on them. It's never going to come off that lanyard. So much safer, much cheaper. That's a big thing. Much, much cheaper. And it's a really good way to make sure your really, really, really favorite pins of yours stays on that lanyard like you want them.
Right. That was one of the things we had to learn, was anytime we left someplace, we had to do a pin check, make sure we had all our pins on the lanyards before we moved on.
Yep.
Now, what would the price range be that we're expecting to see for pins?
Okay. Well, at the parks, depends on what's happening at the park. If you're coming just for, you know, a weekend trip down to Disney or whatever, you're probably looking anywhere between, I would say, $8. I've seen up to $16, $17 in most cases, depending on the pin. Your rack pins, you have on the basic ones, that ranges anywhere from, I would say, 8 to 10. Then you got your limited editions. Those are 12 to 15. And then sometimes you'll see the big jumbos that they'll put behind the cash register there. And those will be, you know, I've seen, depending on the pin, you could see some up to $60 to $80. So it just, again, depends on the pin, if it's limited edition or not, if it is a jumbo size. And what Disney terms are with jumbos, those are pins that have to be 3 inches in either height or width. That makes that pin considered what is called a jumbo. Anything less than that, then that's the regular type pin.
Gotcha. Okay, now let's move on and say, in all your experience, what was the most expensive pin you've heard about or seen traded or sold?
Oh, boy. with that, I mean, you've got the really, really high-end princess pins I've seen. And I know there's some Rapunzels, and I know there's some others. And I'm trying to remember of the set. But I remember the set was probably on the upwards of a couple $1,000. I've seen in a couple cases. My Super Jumbo, because it is gold-plated, and it's because it's a limited edition 150 with the signature, I've already had it appraised at $500.
Wow.
So that one pin, I've literally got $500 sitting on my lanyard, plus the 13s on my lanyard. I've been told it's about $300. So between both of those, that's $800 worth of pins sitting around my neck. So,
well, it's an annual pass if you ever need to get one.
There you go. There it literally is. Literally is. But, you know, I mean, again, you don't have to have the big end pins. You don't have to have the limited editions to have fun. And honestly, it's what it is. It's to have fun, you know. And please, if you're doing it to, you know, to make money at it, that's okay. I mean, if that's your way of making money, but please be respectable with the prices. You know, I see so many times you buy a pin for $8, and I see it literally on the internet for 50 to 60 times that. And unfortunately, somebody doesn't do their homework, and then they end up spending that much for that pin when they could have just contacted Disney and got a shipper a lot less. So,
right.
You know, do your homework. You know, again, do your homework and, you know, educate yourself on it. You know, if anybody ever sees me at Disneyland, you know, please, I'm always approachable. You can always ask me questions. You can ask my wife questions. We'll educate you rather than make you feel like your pins aren't worth anything, because we do our absolute best to make sure we do a trade with everybody that comes up to us.
Well, that's such a great attitude. We have seen some of the traders down at Epcot that haven't been that nice, especially when they see it was my son coming up to talk to them. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Sure.
Before we go, let's go ahead and repeat your vitals. Let's hear your website address again so people can stop by, your Facebook page, and whatever else.
Okay, well, the website is DisneyPinCollecting.com. You can find us on the internet. We got a lot of really cool things on there, educational videos. We've got a blog on there. Please make sure you check out the sponsors and friends page. We've got a lot of really, really nice sponsors that are kind enough to donate items to our group to be able to offer them as raffle prizes, ranging from custom Mickey ears to custom zipper pulls, necklaces, keychains. Things like that. We've got really nice blogs on there that are on the internet, such as Started with a Mouse, it's called. Really cool blog. So make sure you check them out. And as far as my Facebook page for pin trading, you can search for Disney Pin Traders. You can go on there and you can find us on there. Again, very, very cool group. You can go on there and do that. And I'm sorry, the correct page was Disney Pin Holics is our group name. Make sure you do Disney Pin Holics, and then you'll find us on there.
Okay, very good. And once again, your event dates?
Event dates is March 22nd and 23rd. Both going to be from 11 to 5, both days. And you can pin trade. You can sell Disney pin objects there, ranging from the pins, the books, the lanyards, and things like that. We're going to kind of limit it this time, just kind of test the waters. Anything pin related, you can definitely sell there. But yeah, it's a great time, great food, great atmosphere, right in downtown Long Beach. So you're really close to the beach if you just want to hop on the road there and go down to the beach and enjoy the sunset. It's really cool environment. And what's better than enjoy it with a group of Disney pinholics?
You're making me jealous. Thank you, Sean, very much for coming on our show. I definitely got an education on pin trading, and I hope anybody listening will get in touch and stop by Sean's sites. And if you have any questions, let him know. Sean, do you have an email address maybe someone can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. My email is socalpinevent.com. You can always send me an email if you ever have any questions, or if you would like to maybe contribute towards our groups, feel free to go ahead and drop me a line, and I'm sure we can work out something and just help each other out.
Okay, and I'll put those links and the email address in the show notes for this week's show also.
Fantastic.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sean. We really appreciate you coming on, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely, and thank you very much for your time, and I wish nothing but the best for your podcast.
Great, thank you very much.
All right, you have a good night, sir.
Well, that was a great breakdown of pin trading in Disneyland. Thanks a lot, Sean. We really appreciated you doing that interview with us. Well, since Sean talked mostly about Disneyland, I think what we're going to do now is talk a little bit about Walt Disney World. All of us, we talked about this before the show, and all of us have done some pin trading and pin collecting. Not as much as Sean has, definitely not. However, Sam and Jimmy have had some experiences with it, and we all agreed that the experiences came about basically for the kids. We wanted to get our kids more involved with the cast members. We felt this was probably one of the safest ways to do that. So what we're going to do now is talk about maybe some of the differences at Walt Disney World. Before we do, though, I just wanted to mention one thing. In the interview with Sean, we mentioned the website PinPix. However, we never gave the extension for that, so I wanted to correct that right now. A really great website that you can use to check out your pins and see their value is PinPix, that's PinPix.com. Very good site. We totally recommend it. So anyway, guys, what'd you think of the interview?
You know, it's kind of listening to the interview and just, you know, all the stuff we're doing to prep for this show is kind of maybe reinvigorated me to want to do a little more pin trading. We're going down in April, so, you know, I was thinking breaking the lanyards out and maybe do a little pin trading while we're down there.
Jimmy, do you actually wear a lanyard in the parks, or is it just like once in a while?
I normally don't wear them. We each have one, and we bought pins. When the kids were younger, I really used the pins more of an incentive to have them go on attractions. So, you know, my son was probably 8 or 9 and maybe a little scared to go on to Tower of Terror. So that's kind of what we used. You know, whatever attraction they would go on at the end of the attraction, we'd buy them a pin so they could put that on their lanyard and you know, show that they went on that.
Awesome. Bribery.
Bribery. Gotta love it.
Well, how about you, Sam? How did you start your pin trading?
So, you know, pin trading for us goes back quite a bit, and it really has been a way to extend our trip and really start the planning process early. So here's what I mean. Sean talked about some of those scrapper pins, which you can find on eBay. You know, he talked about some that are legitimate and some that aren't. You know, basically, if it's being shipped from China, chances are it's not legitimate. Right. So I tend to stay with, you know, a reputable source somewhere in the States. Sure. And basically, you can get a lot of pins, meaning LOT on eBay, maybe 50 pins for a month before your trip, and then start to play with them and sort them and just build the anticipation for going down to Walt Disney World. And it really gets everybody excited about going. And then you can take that experience and extend it down to the park.
Mm-hmm. That's how our household works also. We do the eBay purchases. And then depending on the trips, we've either given them out one at a time at certain events or we've given them en masse. And that's right. The fun of it was researching your pins, trading back and forth, making sure you had the ones you wanted, and then getting ready to go to the parks.
So what's a lot of pins cost now, you think?
The prices have decreased so much. I can go back to, 2006, 2007, when I was paying $2 to $3 a pin, thinking that was a deal. Now, you know, you can get pins 75 cents each for the traders, which are those scrappers, which are parts of sets, and you can find the hidden Mickey sets and checklists, which become important. In fact, at one point, my daughter carried checklists around with her to figure out what she needed and what she didn't need.
Oh, cool.
And those keep changing, right? So now in 2014, go to eBay, search for Disney Pin Lot, L-O-T, and you'll find quite a few different options. But it does let you extend that trip and then figure out, oh, I really like this one. This is part of a set. What else is in that set? Do some research and find out what other pins you need to get. And then you start to get on a hunt for those specific pins. One thing's for sure, there's no way to collect all of them. You know, you'll hear people that like characters, people that like rides, people like attraction pins or park pins. So we all have our little niche, right? My wife gets Tinkerbell pins. So every time we see Tinkerbell, we trade for one of those for her. I go for dated pins. So a pin with a date on it, you know, 2012, 2013, 2014. And it just depends. The kids change their mind every trip, I think.
Yeah, very true.
And that's kind of how we started. That's kind of how I buy pins. I usually look for something that I identify with, you know? So I do like the dated pins because that's the type of stuff that you can go back and they're on your lanyard and you kind of brings you back to that trip. One that just comes to mind, and I couldn't tell you very many of the pins that I have in my lanyard because I hadn't looked at it in a while, but I know I have one from, we were there September 9th in 2009. So it's a Chippendale pin that's got 999 on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was that pin was only available that day, and we just happened to be in Animal Kingdom and saw it, and I said, you know what, you'll never see this pin again, so I bought one for each of us.
Very nice. Now, those are the pins you wouldn't really wear into the park to trade, though. Those are the ones you're going to save, right?
Well, I think, like on ours, they're on the lanyard, but we put a locking back on it, so that's still not one I would trade. That would be a keeper, but I still like to have it on my lanyard just to show it off.
Mm-hmm. As far as my personal taste goes, is I'll collect Mickey pins. My favorite, absolute, all-time favorite pin is Mickey getting out of bed in a robe, drinking a cup of coffee, hanging out.
Cool. That's a good one.
I also like the ones that are non-characters. I like the license plate pins. I like the monorail pins. Things like that really catch my eye. The tickets, they have the letter tickets from the early days, the A through E tickets. Those type of pins are great.
I actually, you know, just thinking about doing the show and all, recording tonight and all, I was on eBay earlier and I actually bid on a pin, and it's I guess it's like a name badge for Walt Disney Imagineering, and there's a bunch of different ones, but it's Edward Gracie, Master Gracie, and it's got his picture.
Nice.
And it says WDW Imagineering. It's like almost like his name, like his ID, like work ID.
Mm-hmm. Like a novel pin. That's a really cool one.
Yeah. Now, we're huge Haunted Mansion fans, so that one I saw it and I'm like, let me bid on that one.
Cool. Good luck. Now, something real quick before we get away from eBay is that the pins we're talking about that we get on eBay and the lots are similar to the pins that the actual cast members are wearing. They're wearing pins that are kind of random, and they're not the best quality, but they are the rack pins that Sean was referring to. I don't think the cast members tend to actually purposely wear really expensive pins on their lanyards or their, the hip packets. I think they're basically just out there to have fun with the guests and such like that. Now, that's
exactly it.
Right, and that's the cast members. Now, however, there is another thing at Walt Disney World that Sean didn't mention at Disneyland, and I'm not sure if they do this out there. Sam, tell us about the pin boards.
So the pin boards. So here's what we're at home. We figure out right now in March of 2014, the big pin are the popcorn buckets. So there's a popcorn bucket with Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Goofy. And that's the set that everybody's trying to get. And it's the one that over time as we go on our trips, it's interesting to see these things change. So when we started collecting, it was the buses, right? You get all four of the Disney buses, then it went to monorails, then it went to fast passes, then it went to whatever was next, and there's just lots of them. Then you don't see them. So today it's the popcorn buckets. So where do you find that one Mickey popcorn bucket that seems to be so hard to find? There's lots of different places where you can trade outside of just the cast member. So you walk into Epcot or walk into any of the parks and there's a cast member with a lanyard. You can go up to them and you can trade. No problem. Do it all day long. But those tend to, you know, turn over quickly. If you're there early in the day, you'll find that it's a fresh set of pins because the cast members can, you know, pick what they're going to come out with that morning off of a board that they have backstage. But really, where you can get some good pins are on the pin boards. Now, when I say pin board, it is literally a pegboard in multiple locations around Walt Disney World property. You'll find them in parks. You'll find them in resorts. You'll find them in stores. You'll find them downtown that has, you know, probably 20 to 50 different pins that you can trade for with the cast member that's manning the pin. Hmm. So everyone knows if you go into guest relations in any of the four parks, there's a pin board. Or actually, it's a pin book in those cases where you flip through and decide what to trade for. But there's lots of little hidden places all around Walt Disney World that tend to change based on the dates where you can find a pin book where not many people know where it is that may have some really good pins on it. So a good example might be Disney Quest in the store. If you're downtown Disney, it tends to be one that doesn't get a lot of foot traffic, but there's a board in there, and if you ask them to see it, they'll show it to you.
Hmm. Right. Now, the pin boards, there's kind of two different varieties. there's the one type of pin board that's pretty much out and available at a location all the time. Usually the cast members leave it out in the open, everybody sees it, and this and that. The other type of pin boards, however, only make the appearance on request. So you would basically, you know, politely ask cast member to see if there is a pin board there, and they'll pull it out. An example of that is there's a pin kiosk in Tomorrowland that's not that big. They have some pins in there, and if you ask the cast member there, once it's your turn, they'll pull out that little board they have, and you can take a look at it and see what's there. What we did is we put together 3, 4, 5 different places that we thought might be a good pin board location that you might not know about. So we wanted to try to go over those real quick now.
I'll say too, Ed, that in some places it's not just a board, but they've become very creative in how they display the pins that are tradable.
Frontierland, right?
Frontierland?
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. If you go to the Beach Club and you ask to see their pin board, it is actually one of the life preservers with pins stuck in it.
Oh, cool.
If you go to the Yacht Club, it's a life preserver that you would wear, a life vest. So there's some really cool little ways that they've come up with displaying pins, and it varies.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very much so. The Frontierland I was mentioning, they have that pin shop right inside Frontierland, and I believe they display their pins on either a hat or a stuffed bear or something like that.
There you go. Perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
One of the newest ones that I really think is cool, and not a lot of people know about it, and it's not always there. This is one that sort of comes and goes as cast members of theirs, but it's back in the Storybook Circus. Specifically, it's in Big Top Souvenirs. So if you think about a circus where you have the vendor that's selling popcorn, and he's wearing over his shoulder a big tray of popcorn, and he's passing them out. Well, this one is actually, it looks like popcorn, and at a glance you might think that it is, but in reality it's made out of cloth, and there are pins stuck all over the popcorn that's in the thing that he's carrying.
Oh, no kidding.
It's really a cool spot, and it's not always out, just sometimes.
Right.
But as soon as my kids spot it, it's the beeline. Boom, pins.
Yep.
Which is a great way to pull all of that together.
Oh, yeah. No. The kids, it's all about the kids with the pins. And
you're exactly right.
And to have them be responsible enough to make their lists, to actually talk to the cast members, go up, greet them politely, say hi, can I look at your pins? And then basically they're kind of rooted on that the entire day, which is cool because they're not looking at the phone or they're not looking at their little game. So I kind of – every little battle you can get in that war, I think you got to take advantage of.
Absolutely. And I mean, the interaction with a lot of the cast members is really good. So,
mm-hmm. When we do the show notes for this show, I've got this great picture of Quinn with his absolute first pin trading experience. It was
nice.
With the photographer at the Magic Kingdom right before the parade came. So everybody's lining up on the sidewalks, and the photographer's in the middle of the street, wasn't busy. Quinn got up and went over and talked to him, and he traded a pin. It was awesome.
That's great.
That's cool.
Okay, well, so we mentioned a couple places. Let's throw out a couple more maybe that people might not know about.
What we're after is the place to find that obscure pin where maybe not a lot of people know about it. There are those types of boards. Then there's boards that everyone knows about. Well, at least you think so, but that's why we're going to tell people on the show. Then there's boards that are only out certain times a day that are really big.
So would you say to stay away from, like, I know at Downtown Disney there's the big pen store. Would you think those places, the pen boards and the cast members are more picked through because so many people go there specifically for pens?
So I will say that the pin trading station, Downtown Disney, is probably one of the best places to find that last hidden Mickey pin to complete a set. Now here's the challenge with that. Their pin board is only open certain times a day. And if you've been in there, you're familiar with it. One of the walls in the back, when the board is closed, you can't even really tell that it's there. When they open this pin board, it is half of the wall of the store. Every person's allowed to trade 2 pins. They time limit you, so you got to be pretty quick and you got to know what you're after. But there's no knowing when they open it. So to one day they might have it opened at noon, the next day it might be at 3. You just sort of have to get lucky or ask a cast member that might tip you off on when the board's going to open for the day. But if you're looking for that one last hidden Mickey pin, it's probably a good place to look for it. If you're looking for something more elaborate, you're probably not going to find it on that board. But it's a good board to swing by.
Right. Now, the place in downtown Disney that Sam mentioned, it's also a place where I'm going to call them professional pin traders go to and set up their books. In the interview with Sean, we heard how he sometimes goes to the parks where he has his big books and he has his carts and he gets help from his wife and his stepson and such like that. Well, they have pin traders like that also down in Walt Disney World. At the downtown Disney pin store, there is outside tables right there. They also do this at Epcot. Right behind Spaceship Earth, as you're coming into the park, they have that overhanging sun blockers there, right in front of the board that shows you what the times are for the rides. And pin traders, I call them professionals, are also there too. Kind of one of the ideas, and Sean kind of mentioned on this, was that they're right next to the pin stores. So if you're going to try pin trading with them and you say, I need this pin, they have it, they're going to look at your lanyard and more than likely they're not going to like anything you have if you're a beginner trader. So they're going to say, hey, you know what? If you go into the store over there, buy this pin, bring it out, I'm going to trade with you. Now, my first instinct was like, that seems a little shady. You're telling the kid to go into the store, buy a pin, and bring it out to you just so you can trade with them. But if it's the pin you need to finish your collection or to finish that one string, well, maybe you might need to do it. And usually the pins are economical, so it's not that bad.
I would be careful on the pin that they're asking you to get. I know that Disney has started to restrict some of the hours at Downtown Disney. Epcot's still wide open. But Jimmy mentioned earlier that one pin, the day it's available, when it's only there for a week, those tend to be the more expensive pins. And a lot of times, you know, just be smart, right? You don't want to buy one of those pins to trade for one that's of less value if you might be able to find it someplace else. Now, if it's your last day and you're headed to the airport, yeah, you want to complete the set. I get it. But be patient. You might find it someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Can we call those people like pin sharks?
Potentially, yes. Yep.
Yeah. I know, especially Downtown Disney got a little out of hand and they've cut back, but Epcot's still wide open. You'll find lots of people in Epcot.
Right. And with Epcot, I think the whole idea of they really have to pay to get into the park might limit it a little bit, as opposed to Downtown Disney, they just get a parking spot.
Right.
And now remember, Epcot is where pin trading was born, right? The year 2000, the Millennium Celebration, is when they first introduced pins, and 14 years later, it's still there.
Right.
So it's definitely something of interest.
One of those things that was supposed to fade away, but did not.
Exactly. Yeah, kind of like that parade that went around World Showcase.
I really miss that parade.
I do too, that but was, we still have Illuminations.
Tapestry of Nations?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We still have Illuminations, so we'll keep the Illuminations and pin trading are the two things we still have from the Millennium Celebration.
Right. A couple more of those places we're talking about where we've seen pin boards that might not be known. At the African Trading Post at Epcot, if you talk to the cast member there, that's not a board that's on display usually, so they'll pull that out and let you take a look at it.
They'll pull that up?
Yes.
I got another good one for you. Over in Epcot, Sunshine Seasons. There's a huge board that they'll pull out. It's out usually around lunch, but if you ask for it, they'll go in back and get it. And it's a big one. We're talking 75 to 100 pins. Lots of options. Wow. So next time you're killing time for the Soar and Fast Pass, spend a little time trading pins there.
Now, I've seen that board there. However, they had it set up between – if you're coming out of Soarin' and you're going straight ahead, there's this big menu that's on the wall. On
that's
the
exactly
floor.
It. Yep.
Okay, right. And that's where they had the board kind of set up right there.
It's not always
talking about. Okay.
Right. So if it's not there, you'll have to ask to see it.
Ask somebody. And unless they're super busy, somebody's going to go and get it for you.
Mm-hmm. So that's right there. That's right there, like across from like the little drink stations.
It's a little before it. It's kind of like in this narrow alleyway that goes between.
I know. Yep. Okay.
Like where the wall is and then like the beginning of the buildings of the Sunshine Season tables and such.
Gotcha. If you follow that wall around, it'll bring you to the first bay to order food.
Yeah.
You got it.
And actually, on the escalator, if you're coming down that escalator, you'd be looking right at it almost.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's
so, Sam, if the board's not out and you have to go ask for it, who would you ask? Would you go to one of the bays where you order food and ask them?
I would find any cast member around. If the people with the food can't quite get it, I'm sure they'll find somebody that can. There okay. tends to be somebody floating around. And you know, if you ask somebody preparing food, the answer I've gotten before is, hold on 1 second, and they get somebody that comes out with it.
Right. Sure.
And they typically it's on a big easel. That's how big it is. They set it up. They're not holding it. They'll come out with it, hold it for you, and let you trade two pins, and then go back in. So it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Another big one over in Epcot that you don't quite know when it's going to come out is right in Mouse Gear, over where the pin display is. There's a pretty big board that'll come out every once in a while. Now, if you ask for that one, they'll give you a time to come back, because believe it or not, there tends to be a queue for that one where people are waiting to get the good pin that they've been waiting for.
And where in Mouse Gear is this?
It's in Mouse Gear right by the door that leads straight to Test Track, sort of on the back side.
Gotcha. That'd be like right where they sell like the shirts and stuff in the store. They sell
if
shirts.
If you're coming in from Test Track, you would walk right into it. Right. That's where I've seen it most recently.
Gotcha.
Good. That's good to know. Got to check that one out.
Sam, dude, when you go on your trips, when you go down to do a research trip, do you typically find yourself pin trading? Or is that...
I always have a couple pins in my pocket.
Okay.
I give you that. So, and if I don't have them, I'm upset. I'm like, oh, there's that one. I know my daughter would love that one. Or I know, you know, I went, oh my gosh, there's a Figment pin. I need that.
Right. Okay.
If I already have it, I'm getting it again.
So even if you're there without the kids, you're in Orlando at a conference and you decide to go spend the day at Disney.
I'll have a couple of pins in my pocket. Yep.
Right.
Awesome.
We usually have them in the camera case. There's always a couple in the pocket in the camera case, a couple of the low budget pins. And I don't restrict it to lanyards either. I'll wear a pin on my hat if I really like the pin or whatever, and it fits the day and things like that. And on my shirt, wherever.
Yeah, backpack.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the Disney some of the pins I have aren't Disney pins, but I still wear them because I'm pretty kind of happy that I have them. I have a pin from the WDW radio show, and I also have a pin from the Be Our Guest podcast. So it's kind of a cool way to kind of show your show the shows you listen to in the parks. You never know who you're going to run into also with that type of thing.
Right. I don't know. How do you get those made?
Well, the shows make them themselves, and they'll either give them out at meet and greets, or you can even order them off of Cafe Press, I believe. I don't think
a Disney nerd pin someplace.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Nothing else. We're going to be coming out with some buttons really soon.
Yeah, cool. Definitely.
So the other thing I'll add that I've trained my kids to do, especially if it's a newer cast member, when you trade a pin, the back of all of the Disney pins have a Disney pin trading logo on it, like it's embedded in the metal, and it's something I always have them looking for, because you do occasionally find a pin, it doesn't look like a Disney pin, and you can tell when you look at it, it's just a black background and says made in China on it or something like that, which my kids politely give it back and get another pin, because those aren't the official ones. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
But I try to teach them the right ethics that to trade a pin, it has to have the pin trading logo on it. And you could trade two per lanyard, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned from Sean's video on his website, kind of the basics and how he got into pin trading, was that the official pins will have like a waffling on the back with no border. It goes all the way to the edge of the pin and almost overlaps the edge of the pin. So there's no border or anything on it.
One of the things I noticed is that some of the older pins don't have actually like waffling.
Okay.
But they do have the Disney pin trading seal.
They have the seal, yeah.
So I think that's the definite thing you'll be looking for is the seal.
Cool.
So I think we all agree that pin trading is definitely something fun to do down in the parks. It's not too expensive to be prohibitive, but if you do some planning beforehand, you could definitely take advantage of some of those inexpensive pins to trade away.
Absolutely. So the other place that I'll go a lot, every resort – ask in the gift shop. There's a pin board.
Right. Yes.
Every resort. Cool. And in fact, one that I found some good pins at, the Swan and Dolphin. Right? The Swan and Dolphin gift shops both have pin boards. And you tend to have convention visitors there and sometimes guests, but there's some good pins over there at the Swan and Dolphin.
That would make sense because you probably, I mean, to the Swan and Dolphin, because they're not themed and they're not, you know, people don't think of them necessarily as Disney hotels. Probably a lot of people don't think about going there to trade pins.
Yep. But if you go right into Daisy's Garden gift shop in the Swan and ask for the pin board, the pin boards tend to be the same place where you would pick up your package. So when you're in the park and you send the package back to the resort, that's where those pin boards tend to be. But all of them have a board, some of them themed really neatly. We talked about the Yacht Club, the Beach Club, the Boardwalk, the Polynesian. They all have great theming to them. And it's a cool way, even if you're coming back off the bus. There's a couple of pins in your pockets. You want to trade them. I find that my kids get suckered into the mystery pin. Have your kids seen these?
Oh, I've saw those online, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the pin on the lanyard that the cast member wears backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they have all these pins on their lanyard, and then there's one that's backwards. You can't see what it is. It's the mystery pin. You have to trade for it. Now, the beauty of it is you trade for it with one of the pins that are one of your quote-unquote traders versus the keeper bag, which we carry two Ziploc bags, the traders and the keepers.
Mm-hmm.
You trade for it, and if you don't like it, you just trade it again. It's not a problem, and when you're back at the resort, that's a great place to swap it out for something else.
Right, because, cool. Again, it's just a trader. You're right.
Yep.
And you brought up another point. As far as the pins go, too, in the parks, my whole family does wear the lanyards, the two kids do. And a lot of times when you go on rides, that's not too fun a thing to do, especially on the roller coasters that go upside down and stuff like that. So we actually have a separate bag that was an old Disney-type wallet, kind of an old kid's fanny pack type of situation there, where we use that as our pin bag. So inside there, the lanyards go. We also then put our extra pins in the front pocket that are there just to trade if we have to get one out really quick. And we have the routine set. As we're getting online, we're getting close to the ride. Lanyards come off, go in that pack in the backpack, and we go on the ride.
Ed, do you wear a fanny pack in Disney World?
No. No, I do not.
I know another great spot.
Okay, go for it.
Now, did you see – I did post a picture on my Facebook page. It was the 2014 fanny pack that you can get in Disney. And I thought, wow, the fanny pack's back.
That was industrial looking.
It was, but I just looked at it and I kind of shook my head. I said, "Wait a minute, what's old is new again."
Right.
So we're all back. So
all right, you guys know, I just picked up a pen lot of 40 on eBay for $18.49.
Okay,
with free shipping.
Wow.
And yeah, I remember $3 a pin was cheap.
Yeah,
and I thought that was wonderful.
And I enjoyed paying $3 a pin at one point.
And this is from a highly rated seller. So,
and that's the thing to look for on eBay. Look for those ratings. Only those high rated guys who know what they're doing are the ones you want to deal with.
Yeah, this guy's got like 90-something%, and he's got 17,000 transactions. So,
cool. So you're doing some trading. So I give you my last pin board that I only saw twice in all of my trips. It's leaving Magic Kingdom, headed to the buses.
Oh, I had this. This was mine.
After fireworks. Right? And you're right there, and right where you'd ask the cast member would ask you, what bus are you on? And you rattle off a resort, and he immediately knows where it is, and he points you in the right way. There's an easel with a big pin trading board as you're leaving, and the cast member working the buses is manning it. And it's just such a cool little, wow, we thought our day was over, but it's not over. Here's that last opportunity to trade, and the kids are digging in their pockets looking for a pin. I got to have that one. And it's a great cap off to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. We had that our last trip. It totally surprised us because, like you said, we're out of the park. We're into our post-park depression of, like, let's get back to the hotel. Let's get revived.
We got to wait in line for the bus. Yeah.
And, it was a perfect break for that. Now, one other one that came out of nowhere, which was another surprise for us, we did over at the Animal Kingdom. We were in line for food at the Flame Tree Barbecue. And a cast member just came out from behind the restaurant there with a pin board and just kind of walked around people that were online. I guess maybe to keep people a little bit more happier about being online because it was lunchtime.
Sure.
And there were some pretty cool pins on there. So there were some pins I had not seen before. So that was a really good board.
Are some of the pins that the cast members have pins that like were never sold at the stores?
So officially those lanyard pins, the one with the hidden Mickeys, You can't buy those in the stores.
Okay.
If it's got that tiny little silver hidden Mickey, that can only be received by trading a cast member, which is why collecting them becomes such a big thing. So I know if you Google Disney pin checklist, you'll find a bunch of PDFs that are checklists, and we have actually printed those off. And at the house, we have a, you know, a pegboard, and the checklist is on it, and they push the pins right on top of it so that we know which ones we have and don't have.
That's cool.
And before every trip, it's okay, what do we need? Well, we need Tinkerbell over here, and we need Belle over here, and we need, you know, whatever it might be. But another part where it hits home and why we all go to Disney World is we walk in and I see my kids, all pins, let's go. They run over and they turn around and they come back with a pin from me, right? They come back, Dad, look, I got you a Figment. Or Dad, look, I got you that a 2008 pin. How cool was that?
That's awesome.
And those are the pins, although they might not be worth that much, they are to me and they get right on my board. That's Dad's keeper right there.
Very cool.
And that's why we do this.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Before we finish up, I wanted to share one more thing with everyone is once we got home from the trips, one other thing we have done in the past is we've gone to Michael's, the craft store, and have gotten some of those deeper picture frames. They kind of have about an inch of room into it, kind of a small shadow box. Right. What we do is we put felt on the cardboard, and then they'll pick the pins they like the best from that trip. And then they'll put the pins onto that cardboard, they'll put it into the shadow box, and then they can hang it on the wall. We did that a couple times, and a lot of times the pins didn't come back out of that little shadow box there. They kept it up there on display. Quinn took his down recently, but Hope's are still up on her wall.
Do either one of you guys have like any of the art? Like I've got, you know, there's always something at Disney. If you spend $50, you can get this limited edition watch. Or so I've got one of the pictures that's got pins on it, and it's framed. Any idea what I'm talking about?
I do. I have a couple of them. The one that jumps out is a Fillmore Magic frame, where it's the pin and, you know, a lithograph behind it kind of a thing.
That's kind of what this is. Cool. This one's actually got about 5 or 6 pens in it. It's hanging up in our kitchen, actually. It's like a lithograph, and some of the characters are actually pens. Some of them are just kind of drawn onto this lithograph, but some of them are kind of pens.
Are they a certain theme to it?
I think this one's just... I think it's just like a Magic Kingdom, or it may just be a Walt Disney World thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a picture of it. Maybe post it in the show notes.
Cool.
But it's like a framed piece of art. It's like a framed lithograph, but some of the pictures are pens instead of drawn pictures.
I imagine they could do a lot of stuff with that. I'm part of the Disney Movie Rewards Club and the Video Club also. And one of the promotions about 5 years ago was when you bought the Jungle Book at the anniversary it was 5 years ago, they also sent you a collector's pin with it. I got a Mowgli and a Baloo, and it was really cool because it showed up in a box that had a full background to it too. So it's nice kind of like a presentation to kind of leave that all together. So Disney finds all ways to use these pins.
Yeah, they do. I've got a couple from the Disney Movie Club.
All right, so Jimmy, when you go down in April, I have two pin boards for you to find. Okay. One is, and you've probably been back there, in the Epcot Japanese Pavilion. If you go all the way in the back, there's a sake bar back there.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, I knew that you would know where the sake bar is, by the way. I absolutely knew that. So there's a great pin board in there. And the other one, Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster, there's a drum with pins on it.
Okay.
Find those two. Get some pictures.
Okay.
Now, the Aerosmith store, I've never seen the drum, but that store actually has some really cool pins to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole guitar rock theme and Aerosmith and such like that. Quinn loves that store.
Yeah, it's a good store.
So something to look forward to next time. Awesome. Okay, well, that's our experiences with pin trading. So let us know about your experiences. Give the show an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, or go onto our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast, and leave a comment there. We'd really like to hear what your experiences have been with pin trading.
I want to know where that board is that I don't know about. Somebody tell me.
Seriously, we all want to know where that board is. Definitely let us know. So we want to thank Sean one more time for coming on our show. It was a great interview you did for us, Sean. If you want to go to his website, the address is disneypincollecting.com. And if you're on Facebook, I believe you can look for the Disney Pinholics group, and you can register there also.
Again, if you're looking to book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, there's still some great deals for the rest of for the beginning part of this year. Please contact us at Once Upon a Time Travel. You can contact us on Facebook. You can also email us at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or give us a call at 504-304-4904.
Pin trading's just the beginning of what you can do at Walt Disney World as a family. Pins, pennies, vinylmations. It's absolutely incredible. Keep listening to the Disney Nerds. We have lots more coming. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, samsdisneydiary.com, and Twitter at Sam's Disney Diary. We'll see you guys again real soon.
That's right. Everything is about the family. Never forget that. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.